Well, we've been talking to you about looking through the lens of faith. And one of the dimensions I wanted to impart to you is understanding that it's not just faith that matters. The things that support or undergird faith also matter. And we compare faith really to a three-legged stool. And the seat of that stool, of course, is your faith. Everything basically rises and falls on that. But underneath that faith, that seat, are factors that determine how stable your faith is. Because many times somebody will say, well, I believe God for something and it didn't happen, you know, so it must be a faith failure. Say that it would be a faith failure. And yes, certainly sometimes if we let go of our faith, we can see that happen. But it's not just faith that matters. There are factors that matter. Each one of those legs of that three-legged stool matter. We talked about the connection between faith and hope. Your faith needs an inner image of an eager expectation so your faith will have something to work on. No inner image by the Holy Ghost, and you're not going to have anything for your faith to work on. We told you this before, but the human heart is the canvas, the Holy Spirit is the artist, and the Word of God is the paint. And as you spend time in His Word, He paints a picture on your heart that your faith now can go to work on to bring what you see on the inside to pass. Not mind science, not manipulation, not spiritism, but the Word of God. Can I have an amen? Amen? And not just do you need hope to undergird that faith, you need the love of God. You need to know how to love God and love others. Can I have an amen? Amen? And to love God is to obey God. If you don't obey Him, you don't love Him. No matter how much you praise Him or hand clap or raise your hands, if you don't obey Him at the end of the day, you don't love Him. And of course, if you want your faith to work, you're going to have to walk in love towards other people. Because faith won't work in an unforgiving heart. So now I've got a faith stool and I've got two legs. I need the third leg. And that third leg is a thing called the factor of patience. We'll call faith and patience the power twins because they work in harmony to bring to pass the things that you're believing God for. Let's look at this a little bit more in detail. Faith is that stool, and hope, love, and patience are the three legs that support your faith. I want you to go with me over to Psalm 40 and listen to David's heart and how important this concept actually is. Because have you figured out by now not everything's going to happen overnight for you? Yeah. In Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Now notice this. This is David's testimony of what patience will do for you. What will it do for you? It'll bring deliverance to your life. Say deliverance. It'll bring restoration to your life. Say restoration. It'll bring joy to your life. Say joy. It'll bring blessing to your life. Say blessing. But you see here in David's cry, the temptation is in the middle of your waiting to turn to something else other than God. And that's the mistake. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do in that period of between amen and there it is. And in that period between amen and there it is, you need supernatural patience to undergird your faith so that faith can go to work on that thing and produce the manifestation that you're believing for. Can I have an amen? Amen. It's very important to understand this. During your waiting, you'll be tempted to look to other things, look to other people, look to other solutions, or give up altogether. But it is your patience that will sustain you during that process between amen and there it is. Listen to this from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And to your faith, virtue, meaning add to your faith, virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. Say this with me. I need to add patience to my faith. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said, 11 verse 6. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised. You don't inherit the promises by what? Faith alone. You must understand the force of patience in your life. If you don't, you'll believe God for a season, for a while. When it gets tough, when the devil hammers you, when somebody comes along to discourage you, you'll just give up. But it's through faith and patience. Shout that out. Faith and patience, you actually inherit the promises of God. Matthew 10:22 says, he who endures until the end shall be saved. How long? Brother Hagin used to say this, if you be prepared to stand forever, you won't be standing very long. Are you here today? Anybody here with a testimony that when you had the mindset, you're going to stand no matter what? Did God not come through for you? Did not God perform in your life? Over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 and 26. Cast not away therefore your confidence. See, that takes a willful action here. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. That's a good place to shout. You're waiting for this thing to manifest. It has great recompense of reward. You're going to be rewarded. God's going to come through. For ye have need of patience. Yeah. Smile at somebody with a big smile and say, ye have need of patience. That after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Yeah. You see, there's usually a time span between when you say amen and you can point to it and see what is manifested in your life. Patience means to be long-tempered, to rule over your emotions in the midst of a stand of faith. It means word-based confidence that God will come through if we do not faint or give up. Come on, say it. I'm not of those that faint. It's steadfastness under attack or provocation. I love this definition. It means to be consistently constant. What a thought. To be constant and consistently constant in your life. Like Paul said, none of these things move me. Come on, say that boldly. None of these things move me. Why? I'm consistently constant. Patience means never changing regardless of the circumstances. But thinking about this in terms of being long-tempered, patience means your emotions do not upend your faith while you're waiting. And a lot of people, this is exactly what happens. They get discouraged, despondent, amen. They get mad, they get sad, something happens. And all of a sudden, it's not that God's not coming through. It's that your emotions are no longer under control. And patience has a supernatural ability to control your emotions in the worst of circumstances. Yes, you need patience when you're behind some dummy, you know, on the highway. And if this is you, I apologize in advance. No, I don't. Honestly, people, you need to drive faster than 30 miles an hour on Highway 94. Please, by all means, please. And if you really don't want to drive, get off the road. Do you need patience? Yes. Do you need patience, you know, when they mess up your order again and again and again and again? Isn't it interesting you can go to McDonald's and 5 times out of 10 they can mess your order up, but the church does one thing wrong and you're gone? Moving right along. Gotta have that Mickey D, bless God. You need it then. How many know you need patience when you're dealing with people? I mean, you've all heard the phrase, I lost my patience with them. Right? That's all practical application of patience and the fruit of patience. But then there's an application of patience where you are standing in, you know, in some area of belief. You're believing God for something and your patience is undergirding your faith during that process. And eventually as you stand, you see God begin to manifest and move. So it has all kinds of applications in our life. But if you think you're just going to believe God and you're not going to have some issues or some pushback, you've not been taught faith correctly. Yea, and all those that live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Mark 4, when persecution or trouble comes because of the word. Now, we're a word church. One thing I'm excited about this church in North Carolina, I know it's going to be a Holy Ghost and a word church. How can you possibly know that? It's not even planted yet. I know. You don't spend this long in ministry without knowing. I'm not interested in supporting the church or even praying over a church that's not going to preach the gospel. And I mean all of the gospel. I'm not interested in somebody getting into politics, amen, or social activism. I'm interested in somebody going to preach the word of God to hungry people in North Carolina, get them born again and set free. But you've not been taught faith correctly if you've not been taught that you need patience to undergird your faith. Because you're going to have days. Anybody here ever had a day? Some of you are thinking, Pastor, a day? Bless God, I had a decade. We're talking about a day. And what undergirds you? It's your patience that does that. Amen. Patience undergirds your faith, enabling you to believe over a period of time until the manifestation comes. Sometimes things happen very quickly. Sometimes they happen later on, and we don't have the patience working with our faith, and therefore it looks like a faith failure. But in reality, it wasn't your faith that ran out. Your patience ran out. I'd be lying to you if I told you that I haven't experienced times where my patience ran out. You'd be a pastor for 5 minutes, and sometimes your patience will run out. But it's not limited to people in the ministry. You live in a real world with a lot of interesting people out there. Amen. It's important to understand this. Our faith succeeds when we continue in faith. And the key to continuing in faith is the development of Bible patience to go with and undergird our faith. So absolutely, that hope leg is critical. That love leg is critical. But that patience leg is also critical. Knock one of those legs out and it collapses and would have nothing to do with whether you believe God in His word or not. There are other forces. Say it with me, spiritual forces. When we talk about this, understand that faith is a spiritual force. It does something. Hope is a spiritual force. It does something. Love is a spiritual force. It does something. Patience is a spiritual force. It does something. And you need them all. I mean, for years and years, I didn't even know what they were talking about when they said, I'm walking by faith, living by faith. In other words, I didn't have a handle on any of these, not the faith, not the hope, not the love, and not the patience. But thank God we're starting to learn, aren't we, church? Amen. I said, thank God we're starting to learn how this actually works. In 2 Timothy 3:14, Paul told his son of the faith, continue in the things you have learned. That's it. Patience involves continuing. You don't stop. You don't start, stop, and start. You just continue. You don't have to have it all figured out. Can I have an amen? Anybody here ever been in a faith battle and you didn't have a clue what was going on? You just had to stand. Yes. In John chapter 8, 31, Jesus mentions this again. And he said to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. A lot of people never get to the part of revelation or being free because they never got to the part of continuing. They believed, but they didn't continue. Say this, I have to believe and continue. That makes me a disciple. Then the disciple is able to get the revelation. And it's the revelation that will do what? Sets you free. But if you don't continue, you'll never have that revelation. You'll never have the freedom God has for you without patience. So it's not a take it or leave it deal. Well, I'm just an impatient person. That's just the way it is. That's the way God made me. No, that's not the way God made you. Your lack of patience is a result of the fall and sin. And you can choose to yield to patience just like you yield to impatience. Can I have an amen? It's a decision. Really what I wanted to do today, and I felt this message was important enough to just take the time to actually instruct you and teach you. How many know you need preaching and you need teaching? A lot of people are yelled and screamed at, but they never learned anything. Amen? Yes. So today I'm going to give you the 5 P's of patience. Glory to God. Why is patience so absolutely important? Number one is preparation. You don't understand this, and I don't always understand this, but behind the scenes, the situation is being prepared for us. There's something going on. that you and I can't discern. Just like when you plant some kind of a seed in the ground, you don't see what's going on, but something's going on. Come on, smile at somebody and say, be of good cheer, something's going on. Something's happening in your life. And not only is something being prepared, we as believers are being prepared to walk in what our faith will one day produce. It's not that a five-year-old child can't learn to fly a 747 or a B-2 bomber. It said he's not old enough, he's not been trained in how to handle that. And any stealth aircraft like the B-2, F-117, other aircraft, it's so high tech that you're not really doing everything as a pilot just mechanically. Yeah. It's got so many computer systems to make sure that it flies right and it banks right. There's a lot going on in that stealth aircraft. Now, I'm not going to tell a five-year-old kid who dreams of being in the Air Force, who dreams of being a pilot, you can't possibly do that. But I'm not going to put him in the cockpit at 5 years old. How many of you don't want him in the cockpit of the plane you're flying somewhere across the country today or this summer? Does that make sense? How many of you don't want to see a five-year-old driving down 641 in Murray? Although you can find a man riding a donkey. Hallelujah. Put us on the map, Murray. Glory to God. Yes, amen. I guess I would trust a five-year-old to ride the donkey. I'll give him that. But boy, if he grows up, makes good grades, understands aerodynamics, amen, maybe goes to the academy. He performs very well. He excels the extent. And one day he has the opportunity to train on a stealth aircraft. He could be one of those hero pirates. Pirates, not pilots. Arr. That's a different dream. Arr. I suppose he could grow to be a pirate. That wouldn't be a good thing. Well, all of a sudden he's grown and now he's one of our heroes. Or she's one of our heroes. Amen. Why? Because it took preparation. We just think, well, believe God and everything's fixed. Well, maybe in the believing part, you have to be developing skills and abilities and wisdom so that when it manifests, you don't crash that plane. You don't destroy what you received by your faith. Patience is working to prepare that situation and to prepare you. Come on, say it with me. It's preparing the situation and it's preparing me. Patience. I saw it this way many years ago, so I'll just throw this out to you. Behind the scenes, there's divine choreography going on. You can't see it. My Sunday school superintendent when I was in college, Windsor Tripp, and he was a board member here, an elder here for years, he used to talk about the unseen hand. Classical Pentecostals used to talk about the unseen hand. I was fascinated with that because the Bible says a lot about the right hand of God, how powerful he is. But behind everything in a realm you can't see with your natural eye, he's choreographing things. He's arranging things. We just think, I believe God today, tomorrow it's ready. That's not necessarily the case. Your faith was the beginning point, amen. Choreography began to move and continue. And then one day when everything is ready, when it is set, when the situation is ready and you are ready, boom, manifestation comes. Amen. Look at somebody say, boom. Manifestation comes. The bottom line is, and I say this, you know, I had to learn this the hard way and been through a lot of stresses through the years over that. As a leader, I just assume if I pray for something, if I believe something, then boom, it's ready. That's not the point. The point was I ready? Amen. Are you ready? Don't ever underestimate or play down the divine choreography going on while you are waiting. Good stuff happening, amen? Let me put it to you another way. If divine choreography is going on for that situation or to prepare me, that is a tell to you and to me that he plans on answering what you're believing God for. The choreography is proof that he's already on the job in that situation. Everybody say preparation. Number two is perfection. This is a maturity issue. James said, let patience finish its work so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It's not just about preparing me with skills and abilities and wisdom. It's about me growing up and being mature. Again, a five-year-old, do I really want to, you know, give them military hardware? I do not want to put a Stinger missile system on the shoulder of a five-year-old. Now, Johnny, go out and play with a Stinger. No, Johnny, please don't go out and play with a Stinger. Some of you wondering what that is, a shoulder fired missile that will take down a helicopter, take down an aircraft. Amen. That's how the Ukrainians have been shooting down so many Russian aircraft with these very weapon systems. I'm not going to give it to Johnny when he's 5 years old, but maybe one day when he's well trained in an infantry unit and he's practiced and practiced and practiced, boom, he's got the maturity. He's got the judgment. He has got what it takes in terms of a spiritual, mental, emotional maturity to handle that. There's preparation, but then there is perfection. Aren't you glad you're being perfected? Once again, while you're waiting, say amen. So there it is. Start thanking God that He is maturing you through this process. He's growing you up. It's not wasted time. Oh, God, just wasting my time. He's not wasting your time. He is perfecting you. He's maturing you. That's why we have a problem all over the country. We have a lot of people that are in grown up bodies, but they don't have maturity emotionally, spiritually, you know, in any regard. And they talk foolishness and ignorance, and they do dumb things because they don't have the maturity to handle, amen, certain levels of responsibility or blessing. How many of you want to be able to be the person that can handle the blessing of God when it manifests more in your life than ever before? Raise your hand if you want to be that person. Well, you're going to have some maturity. And it takes a little bit of humility to say, well, maybe I'm just not ready to handle that big of a blessing. All of a sudden, it's quiet in here. Can God trust you with a $100 bill? Can God trust you with $10 million? You may say, oh, yes, amen. Amen, praise the Lord, yes, amen. But He knows really if you can handle that. Do you have the maturity to handle that? I mean, is your first thought to honor God with the first 10% of that and then beyond, make yourself a steward of that, not an owner of that? Oh, yes, amen, brother, that's me. There are people that are called to be paymasters in the body of Christ and being matured so that they can do it. If you don't tithe on a $100 bill, you're never going to tithe on $100,000. You're never going to tithe on a million. When God increases you from, you know, a real estate sale, or He increases you, you know, from an insurance settlement or something like that, and you never even thought about God who has blessed you and took care of you, you're not ready for higher ends of blessing in your life. It doesn't mean it's over. I mean, we can still mature. Look at somebody and say, if you're still breathing, you can still be matured. Amen. The body of Christ needs people like that. It's a preparation issue. It's a perfection issue. Number three, it's a persecution issue. The devil is always going to try and stop your destiny. Sometimes the delay is supernatural warfare against what is in your heart to actually do. You know, I refer you back to Daniel 10 when Daniel prayed after his Daniel fast. When the angel finally shows up, he says, that, you know, Daniel, your words were heard immediately. But this prince of Persia has been withholding or withstanding us for how long, church? 21 days. Now, I've heard people say, well, we're under the new covenant, so those battles aren't there anymore. If those battles aren't there anymore, then why did Paul instruct us in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God and remind us that we war not against flesh and blood? That battle, it remains. Those forces are still out there. You have authority over them, but you must stand, amen, and stand in what God has given you to defeat those forces. But you have real issues. Daniel was immediately heard, but it was withstood all that time. That's the same thing the devil does today. Some of you think it's not God's will. The delay is somehow God's not going to come through. It never works for you. Some of you are facing delays because the enemy is working against you, and you need to stand against that. time permits, next time we'll talk about how specifically you do that. But it's very, very real. You think the devil's going to stand up and clap and cheer that because you want to do something great for God and he's going to sit back on his hands and do nothing? No. Sometimes it's a preparation issue. Sometimes it is a perfection issue. And sometimes it is a persecution issue. And the devil will even use people. Not everybody you run in today is going to be encouraging to you. Amen. Just like Job's wife, some folks you're going to run into and say, Job, see what's going on, just curse God and die. You do not need curse God and die people around you. You need people, hey, believe God and live and be victorious and be overcomers in Jesus' name. Amen. And never underestimate the power of an encouraging word as a child of God. Anybody can be negative. Just assume, I'll ask you all in a minute, but just assume that everybody you run into that is a Christ person, a child of God, is believing God for something. Assume that and ask yourself, what could I do to help them in their battle? What could I do to help them stand in this moment? Now raise your hand if you're actively believing God right now for something in your life.
Yeah.
Raise them up high, wave them around. Look at all the hands. Everywhere you go, you're going to run into an authentic Christian who could use some encouragement. Not telling them why it can't happen and why it won't happen. Well, it never works. It didn't work for me, bless God. Aunt Martha believed that and she died. No, we're not talking about Aunt Martha. We're talking about you learning how to trust God, amen, and have patience through that persecution. It's very, very real. Amen. Say it, preparation. Perfection, persecution, proclamation. Sometimes there is a prophetic set time for manifestation. Scripture says in Psalm 102:13, thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the time, the set time has come. You know what I like? I like when I pray something on Monday and set time is Tuesday. Am I alone in that? Let me ask you again, church. If you pray something, amen, this week, don't you like to have set time come quickly?
Yes.
But sometimes, prophetically, there's a set time over things. It can be small things, but often in the big things of our lives, you know, he has already set things. And if that is the case, if there is a prophetic set time, you can kick and scream all you want to. Bellyache all you want to. Cry those big, big crocodile tears of unbelief. It's not going to change anything because there's a set time. Now watch this. If there's a prophetic set time, if I'm believing God for a manifestation or a breakthrough and there's a prophetic set time, that must mean God has every intention of causing that thing to manifest or there wouldn't be a set time. Come on, shout this out. A set time means a huge yes from God. And I can tell you today that there are people in here, you're sitting on a set time. And what should you be doing? Praising God every day. I don't have the details. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have everything about this, but I know it's a set time. God is coming through in Jesus' name. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Instead of bellyache in the set time, praise God in the set time. Honor him in the set time. There are some things in this church, in this ministry that have set time on them. You can sit back and bellyache or give up or quit, or you can stand. Amen. Come on, say it. It's a big fat yes. You hear people say, well, sometimes God says yes and sometimes God says no. God does not say no to what is promised in his word. Period. That is a doctrine of unbelief, amen, and rationalization is not there. Now, sometimes there is a big silence. Sometimes there is a delay. Because God will not alter what his voice has spoken. Right? Say it, set time. A smile at somebody, say, you should get happy today. Filled with joy. Tell them there's a set time in your situation. So now it's just for Israel. No, that's for God's people in general.
All right.
Amen. There's a set time for Jesus to be born. I got good news for you. There's a set time for Jesus to return, and nothing can stop it. That's pretty good, you know, for a carnival ride. But I just told you there's a set time for Jesus to return. That's a total different thing. Amen. It's set. We don't know the time. Amen. We don't know the day. We can tell from Scripture the season, but we know this. Amen. Every other Scripture, every other prophecy he's fulfilled, there's a set time for this, and he's on his way.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, just use that as an example in your own life. Doesn't that excite you to know he's coming back for you? Aren't you excited to know that your loved ones who died in Christ are the first to go up? Hallelujah. They're the dead in Christ shall be raised. Doesn't that excite you knowing that Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, is just that, the firstborn? The rest of us are following in his example. These things are yes, and they're amen, and he has a set time. Don't you be concerned about your lost loved one. Don't you be sitting there for the rest of your life, you know, bound by a spirit of grief. There's a set time for them to get up. You have to work tomorrow morning. You set your alarm for 6, 6:30, 7, whatever it is. That's the set time to get up. In God's economy, there is a set time for your dead loved ones to get up. It's set. Come on, say it emphatically. It is set. What you believe in God for. And you do have great confidence and joy knowing that the time of his return is set. Even though you don't know what that is. So does it stand to reason if you don't know the time of the manifestation of that healing, that financial breakthrough, amen, that anointing, that empowerment that God has for you, isn't it enough to know there's a set time for that? And have the same joy and expectation for that that you have for his second coming. Amen. You, 200 million man army will never stop the return of the Lord Jesus Christ or anything like that. And I just want to deal with something while I'm on this. Everybody say set time. Oh, dear God, you know, Pakistan's got nukes and India's got nukes and Rocket Man over in Korea's got something. I know, but Rocket Man can't seem to get, you know, his rocket to go anywhere right now. So, you know, they go up, they go down, they splash into the sea. They got this and they got that and they are threatening this and they think they'll do this over here and China's got them and Russia's got them. United States has got them. Oh, the whole world's going to be in fire. Can I remind you that you are not like the world? You've been delivered from the fear of death.
Yes.
Boom. Hello, Jesus. Be careful, don't you think about these things the way the world thinks about them. Yes, we should pray, amen, for wisdom and restraint in people's lives. But understand who you are. You operate from a position of faith, not fear. That's a very different way to live out your life. Glory to God. Everybody say proclamation.
Proclamation.
I love this, thinking about all the things I'm believing God for, knowing there's set time.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Amen. And he's not a liar.
Right.
So why not be excited?
Yeah.
Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, tell your face you're excited about your set time. Yeah, you're right now. Amen. And one I've also found out through personal experiences, one called protection. This is the fifth one. There can be an immediate danger of a quick manifestation of your faith. You can find yourself getting off God's path. You can find yourself not ready to be destroyed by something. Sometimes you look at God's redirection and you think, well, it must be a no. God doesn't really care about that particular thing. Oftentimes, God is moving supernaturally to protect you. Amen. Instead of seeing things that don't work out as somehow, you know, a faith failure, sometimes it has nothing to do with your faith. What you're doing is realizing that there is some kind of a time period because God is actually protecting you. Have you thought about the fact how much God must love you to protect you at a faith assignment? Anybody here ever do anything stupid?
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you ever did anything stupid. Would He protect us from our own stupidity? Yeah. Oh, dear God, I hope so. How about protect you from the stupidity of other people? Have you noticed that people out there can affect your life? Sometimes He's protecting you from people who are not going to be a blessing to you. Sometimes you see separation because of that very truth, protecting you. One of my favorite stories about this is about a preacher from England named J. Stuart Holden. He's an author, writer, very popular in England, early 1900s. In 1912, he received an invitation to come over to the United States and preach in what would be considered today the biggest ministry conference in North America. And he so wanted to be there, felt called to be there, felt anointed to be there. And yet at his home, his wife was facing a serious health crisis. So he made the decision that he was not going to go and be a part of this conference. April 15, 2012, the Titanic went down. He was a first-class passenger on that vessel and canceled his ticket to stay home with his wife. I can't tell you how real that is. You could look at that as a great disappointment, a delay in your life and things like that, but God sometimes could be literally sparing your life in the process of waiting in patience for His perfect will to be accomplished. It's not isolated. People do that all the time. They'll change plans. They'll change directions. They'll get involved with this instead of getting involved with that. And God's supernatural hand will protect them. What you see is somehow, a begrudging waiting period. Oh, dear God, I'm just suffering for the Lord. Wait, no. Have joy in knowing that God is mindful of you. That God had enough, impartation in this man's life to know that he was of value to God, not just on this trip and then die on that vessel, but minister for years to come. Amen. God can, and He does protect us in that process. So to walk around and say, I guess that was just a faith failure. I guess that's not going to work out. Don't see delays as faith failures. Just stand in your patience. Amen. Stand in the love of God. Stand in the hope. The inner image is on the inside of you. And watch God move in your life. You need your faith undergirded and supported with your patience. Why? Because He is in fact preparing. Amen. He is perfecting. Say, He is perfecting me. He's moving in my life. He is, in fact, dealing with the persecution behind the scenes. You don't see. He has issued proclamations of set times. And He's protecting you. Doesn't that encourage you? A couple of you are really going to love this. That God loved you enough to slam that door in your face. And you're sitting on the other side of that door crying like a baby. Aren't you glad that God opens doors?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that God is able to protect you?
Yes.
The fact that He loved you enough ought to encourage you. Well, I know George over here keeps beating down the gates of heaven, praying over the situation, using his faith. He's got a great vision and great hope, and he's walking in love, and I see destruction on the other side of that door, but he's just beating down that door so much. So let's just go ahead and let him go through that door. Because I really don't love him that much. Aren't you glad he loves you enough? Put it to you another way. How are you thankful he loves you enough to correct you?
Yes.
Redirect you. Isn't that a blessing to know? Does not the Word of God say that the Father corrects His children? Amen. Glory to God. Probably everybody in this room has had a delay of some kind, and it wasn't your faith failing. God was protecting you. You don't know what monster is on the other side of that wall. You don't know what humans on the other side of that wall. You know, divine partnership can bring great blessing to your life. Get involved with the wrong people, they can tear you down. Amen? So say it with me. I'm undergirding my faith with hope, with love, and with patience in Jesus' name. Amen? We'll come back next week. We're going to talk about specifically how you engage this, how you cultivate and develop your patience. Amen. When you are praying for something, believing God, the amen to there it is. Say it with me.
Thank you, God,
that I have patience between the amen and the there it is. Can you receive that today? Give the Lord a hand clap and thank him for that.